Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 1. It says, "Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved." I want to stop right there for a minute. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord. Just work through me this morning. Lord, fill my heart with your word, Lord. Let everything that comes out of my mouth be your words, Lord, not mine. Take anything away from me, Lord, that may hinder me from speaking your truth. Lord, I'm just your servant. I'm just a man. Lord, I need your knowledge. I need your strength. I need your Holy Spirit's presence to overtake me. Lord, anoint me this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We read here about Paul, the Apostle Paul. And Paul, he says here, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for them, the Israelites, the Jews, that they may be saved." And I think his heart's desire, and I think heart's desire, what is our heart's desire? What's your heart's desire? And I know I've got several things in my life that I can say that's my heart's desire. My heart's desire is for the Lord, number one. Number two, my heart's desire is for my wife. And I do. I mean that. I love my wife. And I can say my heart's desire is for her. I can say that my heart's desire is for my kids. That's where my heart, that's where my heart's desire is. I want to see my kids do good. And I can say that just like Paul said to his people, the Israelites, the Jews, he said, "My heart's desire for them is that they may be saved. My heart's desire for my family is that they may be saved. My heart's desire for my church is that all that come to this church, they may be saved." God put that in me. God put that in Paul. Paul was, he was a Jew. He's saying that these people that crucified Jesus, you think about that. He come to that knowledge. These are the people that crucified Jesus, the one that rejected him, the one that put him on the cross, the ones that killed him. And he says, "My heart's desire and prayer to God is for them." That just hit me. Really hit me, and I thought, where's my heart's desire at? Like I said, it's in many things. I have it for my wife. I have it for my kids. But sometimes that heart's desire gets lessened by other things, you know. I think about the loss of heart. Don't lose heart. Paul talked about that in some of his writings. He said, don't lose heart. What did he mean? Don't lose that desire to pray for your brothers. Don't lose that desire to pray for your enemies. The ones that you love, even though you know they're not right with God. Pray for them. That's your desire. My heart's desire, you know, God's called me into the ministry, and ministry is not just about me getting up here and preaching. It's not about me getting up here and saying a bunch of eloquent words, you know, because you know me by now. That's not me. I'm not an eloquent speaker. But my heart's desire is to see lost people saved. That's my heart's desire. My heart's desire is to see people grow deeper in their faith. That's my heart's desire. Paul says, man, my heart's desire is for these Jews, these Israelites, my people. You know, none of us are Jews, I don't think. There's anybody. Is there anybody in here that is a Jew? No? Could be some that were saved, you know, brought out of that. See, most of us were Gentiles. And then when you get saved, then you become a believer, you know. Paul had the call to preach to all, but he says this. I love that. My heart's desire and prayer. He says that they may be saved, for I can testify. He says, I know them. I can testify. I can tell you about them. That they are zealous for God. They're zealous for God. Can you say that you're zealous for God? Can you say that? These guys were, and it says they were zealous for God, but their zeal was not based on knowledge. They didn't realize who Jesus was and what He did. That's what they didn't know. But they were zealous for the law. They were keepers of the law. They tried to live by every letter of the law. And they were zealous about it, so zealous. And Paul was one of them, and he understood it. Because it says that Paul was zealous when he was Saul. If you look back in the book of Acts, when we look back in the book of Acts, in chapter 9, it talks about Paul's conversion, Saul's conversion. It says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, in other words, the believers, Jews that had believed in Jesus now, he says, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. He was zealous for the, you know, he wanted to, these guys that were lawbreakers, these guys that were blasphemers. Paul was zealous because he was keeping the law. Amen. I don't want to get off track here, but when we even look back in chapter 7, Paul was there during the stoning of Stephen. He was standing over it, watching it happen. Here's Saul, the Apostle Paul, now watching the Jews, you know, these good and righteous Jews, because that's what chapter 10 is all about, righteousness, and how it's not really about that righteousness, that knowledge they didn't understand, you know, the truth. It's about faith. See, here's Paul. Later on, after all that, he knew the Jews. He knew how they thought. And he says, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire is for them. My heart's desire is for them. And even though they're zealous, I want to read a story this morning that I found. Well, there it goes. I'm going to share this with you this morning. Imagine a dear old lady who all her life was faithfully attending a church in her small town. She has helped in the nursery, children's ministries, worked in the kitchen, during social events, prepared potlucks for funeral dinners, and served women's ministries. And everyone who knows her says that she is one of the sweetest persons they ever knew. She's married to a mean old cuss who has no time for religion. He says that the church is full of hypocrites and do-gooders. And why should he hang out with people like that? He prefers his own buddies at the local tavern who can tell him some good off-colorful jokes and place a friendly bet or two on a football game, and who swap stories about their latest fishing or hunting adventures. He would rather that his wife not go to church, but years ago he realized that it gave him the freedom to go fishing on Sunday mornings. He jokes that he's going to to baptize a few fishing worms this morning instead of going to church. As she goes and gets her religious fix that morning. That's what he says. If you were to ask her, on what basis do you hope to get into heaven? The question would shock her. Why would you even ask? If she could find words to reply, she would say, well, all the good people go to heaven. I've always tried my best to be nice to others. I've served at the church in various ways, and I've usually been able to ignore the mean comments that my husband hurls at me. And God knows that I've done the best I could. I feel that I will go to heaven because I'm a good person. Lately, her husband hasn't been feeling very well, but like most tough old geezers, he avoids the doctor. The doctors are like plague, you know. But finally, he gets worried enough that he schedules an appointment, and the doctor runs a few tests and then gently gives him the bad news. You got advanced cancer. If you had come a few years ago, we might have gotten it, but there's not much we can do now. You might have a few months to live. He goes downhill fast, so they arrange the hospice care. And one day, a hospice worker whom he likes is able to share the gospel with him. She tells him that God offers forgiveness for all his sins as a free gift if he will repent of his sins and trust in what Christ did for him on the cross. She leaves him with a gospel of John, and since he knows his time is short, he devours it up. He just keeps reading. And as he reads, God opens his eyes to see his sin and his need for the Savior. He sees that Jesus, God's Son, the Savior of all who trust in Him, he puts his trust in Christ and dies a few weeks later, and he goes on to heaven. His wife would never say it, but she is secretly relieved that he is gone. He was always so difficult to live with. She continues with all of her religious activities through the church, and a few years later, she dies. Because she was trusting in her own righteousness, this nice old lady goes on to hell. She had never trusted in Christ as the necessary perfect righteousness that God gave and that God gives to all who believes. Now, why did I read this story this morning? Because this is what chapter 10 is all about. This is what chapter 10 is all about. It's about a group of people who had knowledge of the law, and that as long as they stayed in their religion, that they thought that that was what was going to get them to heaven, all this goodness. And even Jesus at one time talks to a young man about that. Well, I've done all these good things since I was my youth. And he told him, you go and sell everything and give it to the poor. He was addressing this issue. But Paul knew all about this. But his heart's desire was for those people to be saved. And I'm just here to tell you this morning that it's not about what you do. It's not about how good you can be. It's not about how good you can teach Sunday school. It's not about how you can go to church and be there every Sunday. You can cook potlucks for funeral dinners. You can do all that stuff. But if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, none of that matters. Amen. And that's what chapter 10 is all about. And he says, how do you get saved? Right here in the end. Right here. And he says, the word is near you. This is what Paul's saying in verse 8. But what does it say? He says, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart. In other words, your heart's desire. Your heart. It is with your heart. that you believe and are justified. It is not with your works. It's not with your good deeds. It's not with your going to church. It's not with your sitting in a pew. It's not with your singing the songs. It's where your heart's desire is. Do you stand and praise Him because somebody else next to you is standing up and you don't want to feel left out? I know that sounds a little harsh, but you know where your heart's desire is. Do you pray to Him every day for your enemies and for your family? Is that your heart's desire? Because you know you have a relationship with the Creator, the One who saves. Where's your heart's desire at this morning? Is your heart's desire for the One who saved you? Is your heart's desire for the ones that He came to save? Great commission given to the church. Paul was chosen to go. He was a Jew. He was pulled out. He said, now you go to the Gentiles and preach. And he said, it didn't matter, because he tells right here, he said, this doesn't matter. He said, anyone. He's telling the Jews this. He says, anyone, I got to say that again, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Amen.
We have a lot of racism and biased and prejudice and all these words that we can think of. It doesn't matter. Paul addresses the church and he said, and some were like you in the church. Now you believers. Yeah. And who was he talking about? He was talking about homosexuals. He was talking about drunkards. He was talking about thieves. He was talking about, I could keep going on, murderers. He was talking about all of them. Paul could be considered a murderer now. In our judicial system here, he could be considered that. And he was guilty of that. But he's saying it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, yellow, pink, whatever you are. You call upon the name of the Lord with your heart's desire. Seek Him. You will be saved. Amen. I know most of you guys know this stuff, but man, that's been on my heart. Where's your desire at? Is it for Christ? I got to say it again. When you stand and praise, are you praising Him because that's where your heart, you want to praise Him because you love Him?
Amen.
Because that's what He wants from us as His people. Amen. The girls have a song they're going to sing this morning. And I want to close with this song. So I ask you, as they're singing, where's your heart's desire at this morning? Is your heart's desire for Him? Search your hearts this morning. Search your hearts this morning.